welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
We're going to pick up on talking about the Kingdom of God. The Kingdom of God, as I've said, is such an important subject and topic that mostly we really don't realize how important it is. We don't talk about it enough. And perhaps if we read the scriptures, we really just take it in the text that we're reading, and it doesn't go much more than that. But the Kingdom of God is, as I've said before, a most powerful subject. Subject, if we don't understand, will truly not find us as a person that understands the local church, the church, or God's plan for the church. There's no way that we will really fully understand it. Now, academically, we'll understand it. I'm talking spiritually. I'm talking about understanding it based upon the Word of God that informs us with enough information to equip us to do what God's planned us to do in the local church as a Christian. And so therefore, knowing the what the Kingdom of God is all about is key to understanding the church. No Kingdom of God, no church. It really is as simple as that. And yet, if we have any idea as the focus and purpose of the church, we'll understand how important that is. And if that's important, then the Kingdom of God is very relative. There are a lot of kingdoms in the earth, have been through the centuries, and a kingdom is simply an area of dominion. We live in a kingdom where somebody has absolute rule. And in our country, we're privileged to be a democracy. And so we have not just one dictator, we have a lot of dictators. No, I'm kidding. We have a prime minister with hopefully a team of cooperative, appointed servants of the country to take us in the right direction. And so where that hasn't been the case over the history of the world, you've had a king, and a kingdom is that territory, that area of land or number of people that is under his or her dictate. And those people are subject to him. He is in charge. It is his kingdom. What happens within that realm is his will, is his decision. What will take place there is what he has decided. And no one else has a say in that, or had a say in that. And that's what a kingdom is. It is an area of land or property or scope of people with a person who is the king. It's his title as king, however he got there, whether it was by domineering the people and taking up the position as a dictator, or whether he was just rightfully handed it or pointed to that position. But a kingdom is an area that has a king in control of it, and it is the place where their will is carried out. And so when we start to consider the Kingdom of God with that understanding, we start to realize that, whoa, that sounds pretty interesting. And to that end, when we embrace the kingdom of God and understand it, we start to find out that we are bringing about the will of God, because he does what he wants with his property, as any king does. I've talked so far about carnal kings, human kings, but there are two other kingdoms that are very different to the ones I've been talking about, and they are spiritual kingdoms. There are two. One is the kingdom of light, and the other is the kingdom of darkness. Kingdom of light, the king of that kingdom is Jehovah, hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent and almighty in battle. Praise the Lord. He is the King of all kings. Glory to God. He is the Lord of all lords. He is my God. He is my Lord. He is in absolute control of all things, as we're going to see. And then there's another kingdom. It's the kingdom of darkness. And the ruler of the king in that kingdom is a demonic being. A being that is out to destroy, kill, and undo everything that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of the kingdom in which we live. He is not a good king. I was living in his kingdom for a long time, subject to his control without knowing it. And there are many people today, maybe some even here this morning, unconsciously are living in his kingdom. And the basis of that is that he is calling the shots. And what he is putting in your heart and mind or path to do, you just do it without a thought of how does this compare with the laws of the kingdom of God. Because there are two kingdoms and they're in conflict. They're in conflict. God has established his kingdom. He is not in conflict with the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness is in conflict with the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is eternal. Hallelujah. Say that word with me. It is eternal. That means it is from everlasting to everlasting, for he is God. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning and is the end. Praise the Lord. You don't get excited about that. You're allowed, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to jump on your seat, jump up and down, and sit back in your seat. That's exciting, isn't it? He's God. I mean, he's God. I don't mean he's the God that we talk about when we just go to church. I'm talking about the revelation that he is God that causes something to jump up inside of us. Something that you can't hold back. You want to say, amen. You want to say, hallelujah. You want to clap your hands. You want to raise your hands. You want to dance for joy. It's not something that's external. It's something inside of you. It's the person of the Holy Spirit that's doing what he's called to do and magnify God. And he wants to do it through you and me that are born again. So we need to respond to that sense that's inside of us and be liberated instead of being controlled by another voice. It's another spirit. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness is as powerful and as simple as that. And they're in stark contrast. But we're talking about the kingdom of God. Because it's the kingdom of God that you and I have been translated into as we've been born again. Praise God. If we were translated into the kingdom of God by the new birth, by us coming to a point where we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord, we asked him to forgive our sins, and if, whether you sensed it or not, whether you believed it or not, but according to the Bible, if when we ask him to forgive our sins, come into our lives as our Savior, at that point in time we are born again. Praise God. And we are translated out of the kingdom of darkness, the Bible says, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Praise the Lord. Oh, you're not very excited about that. I'm more excited than you guys, and I'm trying to tell it about to you about it. Hallelujah. Anyone want to shout amen?
Amen.
That wasn't bad. That wasn't bad. Anyway, I'm going to get you to do something before I go any further. Let's stand together and hold our Bibles high. This is what keeps us free from the kingdom of darkness. You hear me? This is what delivers us from the powers of the kingdom of darkness. Ignore this at your peril, whether you're saved today or not saved. Ignore this, and it's at your peril. This word is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. This word here is the Bible says itself. It says it's a hammer that breaks the very rocks of opposition into pieces. Praise God. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. It shows us how to walk safely in any circumstances and any conditions. But for that to happen, we have to know what it is. Praise the Lord. And start understanding that this is the kingdom of God, spelt out for us to be able to live in it safely. Amen. Hold your Bible high, really high. Let the devil see it. You're not afraid of this Bible. He is. Doesn't want you to hold it high. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what it says.
I believe.
I believe I am who it says I am.
I believe I
have what it says I have.
I believe I
can do what it says I can do. And now, because I'm about to receive this seed of the Word of God, this incorruptible seed, this ever-living seed, this never-dying seed of the Word of God, my mind is alert and my heart is open, and I shall never, ever be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's be seated. You know, you might receive this as me being jesting a little bit, but I'm being serious as well as slightly jesting. You know, when I had you follow me in those words, I was just there and then for the first time about to say, what we say, my heart is open, my mind is alert, my heart is open, and both those things really need to be the case. You need to be thinking about what you're cooking for dinner or what you're doing tomorrow. Your mind needs to be alert and your heart needs to be open, because that's where the Holy Spirit receives. I was about to head on to that, and my pen is the pen of a ready writer. I'm taking down everything that God tells me this morning. You need to do that. That's what I did, and I still do it. I take down what I hear God speak to me, that somebody is teaching, speaking, whatever. I take it down. I then go to the Word. I look at it. And that's something then that I feed into me and start moving on with. Do not ignore the Word. The Bible says that the birds of the air, they come and they steal the food. Well, the demons of the devil, they come. And whatever you've heard this morning and you think you'll never forget it, you grab it, you say, wow, you hear God. You know what it is to hear God talk to you. You know it. And you think, I'll never forget that. That wow, that was right between the eyes. I will never forget that. I've done it. I've been there. But if you haven't written it down, it'll go. It'll go. It'll lose its cutting edge. And what God had meant to you for good and what you reached out to receive, that the blessing of God could be more in your life, was stolen. And that's what the devil does. He steals the seed that's sown. Amen. Well, let's look at a few scriptures concerning the kingdom of God. My endeavor is, first of all, to communicate to us and have scriptures for it, that God's kingdom is an almighty, all-powerful kingdom. It is complete and entire in itself, and it can never lose. It can never lose. It's an eternal kingdom. In other words, it's an everlasting kingdom. When you think of the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom, it was created out of nothing. That can only happen in the spiritual realm. It was created out of nothing. It's maintained by the words of his mouth. Praise God. And when those words that he speaks are found coming out of our mouth by the Holy Spirit, he has a responsibility to make sure they are fulfilled. Glory to God. That's why I say, you know, there are two things you need to remember. I know I'm going off the track, but I just have to follow the flow. There are two things you need to remember. One is... what this, the scripture says, it's with the heart that we believe, not with this. You don't believe because you've read something and you understand it. You believe it because you accept it and it becomes part of your life now. That's believing. So on one hand, we need to learn, and when I say learn, it means to become part of our life, that with the heart, man believes, full stop. Believes God. With the heart, man believes. Next thing, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Salvation is the deliverance that we had in and through Jesus Christ. We have been delivered from all the power of darkness. That's what Ephesians says. We have been delivered. Glory to God. The power of darkness, that Satan and all of his domain, can't touch my life. But you know, I need to confess it. Instead of confessing, you know when how the power of darkness functions within our life? Through circumstances. Through circumstances. And those circumstances include being unwell, feeling poorly, pains here, pains there, everywhere, pains here and everywhere. Yeah. I'm going to go in a little ditty there. But... And so, that's how we feel. Circumstances. But the Bible says, with the heart we believe what? We believe this word. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. In other words, we're going to confess this word. If I've been delivered from the power of darkness, I've been delivered from the power of darkness. It doesn't matter what's happening around me, I am delivered from it. If the Bible says in the Old Testament, New Testament, that I am all my diseases, I have been healed, then I'm healed. Whether I feel the pain and it's excruciating and everything is going wrong with my body, but the Bible says I have been redeemed and I have been made whole, then my mouth needs to confess it. That's those two truths, they're basic to our Christian living. And if you're going to be more than a conqueror, and we are called, and the Bible says we are already more than conquerors, but if we continue to live like the world does, and I'm not talking about going out and doing bad things, I'm talking about ignoring the kingdom of God. Ignoring what God has said about His kingdom. Praise God, I and you were translated out of the kingdom of darkness, the Bible says, and we were translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So even when that pain or whatever it comes on, what are you going to do? Are you going to pay any attention to it? None at all. I'm not saying you won't have the pain. You'll have it. I've lived through it. I'm testifying over something with which we live. Have lived. Only 55 now, so for the last 35 years, we've been living that way. I'm kidding. But we have been living that way. What I'm trying to simply say, and try and make it easy for you to hear, is that when anything goes wrong, I don't care what it is, my God is an eternal and an everlasting God. And through the finished work of the cross, He did an eternal and a complete work. It is finished. I believe, I don't know what you choose to believe he was saying when he said that, but I believe he was saying everything that existed before Christ came, all the Old Testament law and everything that was along with that was finished. There was a new dimension of God-appointed living available. It's finished, he said. It's finished. No more condemnation. No more ability of the devil to come and do what he wants with us. And we can still do that, but he can't if we know who we are and who is inside of us. Christ is in us, the hope of glory. A long time ago, you're just a young man going to the Brethren Assembly. I remember hearing this, and it stayed with me, and you probably know it too. The devil knocked at the door, and Jesus opened it. And when he looked, there was no one there. The other side of that coin is, the devil knocked at the door, and John Nabby opened it. And he jumped on me, and he made a mess of me. You don't know what I'm saying? When the devil knocks at your door, whether it's sickness, disease, problems, or whatever, you let Jesus open the door. How do you do that? You find out what this word says about it, and you speak it. I'll tell you, he won't hang around long. He'll hang around just long enough to see if you really believe it. And if you do, you'll say it again, and you'll say it again. And though it continues to go on, you will still say it. In other words, you won't give up because it persists. Do you understand? He's after you. But greater is he than you, and greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Yes, we can. Yeah, I'm not just preaching, I'm not even teaching. I'm just letting the overflow come out. God's talking to us today. God's talking to us today. You and I can be changed in an instant. We can be new people. That doesn't mean to say that you've done something wrong if the devil's on your case and you've got all the problems that I've been talking about. No, they come. The Bible says they come. They come. It's what we do with them when they come. There's only going to be one place where you're totally free from the devil. You know where that is? When we go home. It's when we go home. Right now, we are here for a purpose. You and I are here for a purpose. And yes, I'm talking about the kingdom of God. I don't think I haven't gone away. It's all about this. We're here for a purpose. We're here for those who are unsaved and who the Satan has deluded them with their thinking or circumstances or background or whatever into believing that they don't need to be saved. Because as long as he can delude them, he's got them captive. He's got them captive. And so we are here, and we need to have this, what I'm sharing, that we can let the light shine, that we can be a deliverer in the hand of God, that we can tell the truth and we can love the people who are in without the truth. You know, people without the truth, I found, are lovely people. You get some baddies around a little bit, you know, but they're lovely people. They've just been deluded. The enemy has blinded their minds. The Bible says, lest they see and believe and are converted. And he blinds their mind. You see, you don't believe with your mind. Your intellect is not going to open the door or close the door to God. It's not with your mind, it's with the heart you believe. You get out of the way. And you open up and say, and you give him the right to be Almighty God, bigger than you. Bigger than you. And that's a step of absolute trust, like a baby. Look at this young lady here, Blessing, sitting in her dad's lap, and she hasn't a care in the world. She is in naughty land. Not a care in the world. We'll look at that in about 18 months or less, and we'll see a very different picture. She's totally at rest in dad. And you and I, are born-again believers, have got to be totally at rest in dad. The devil blinds the eyes of the unconverted from that truth because they try to understand with God with your head. You cannot. With the heart. With the heart, you and I believe. Not with the head. You can read this Bible and you can quote it to me. But it won't mean a thing unless you believe with your heart. The enemy will come along and do his job of pulling us down. I want to take you to a scripture in Matthew 4. And just look at a couple of verses in Matthew 4. You know, I was thinking, for those who it applies to, it might be great that one of the things that we do, church, probably only one or two people this applies to, is before we move into the sanctuary, that we design and maybe make ourselves a wonderful new pulpit. Well, I'm going to describe this new pulpit. I think it needs to be wood. I think it needs to be skillfully made in wood, but that's not... Oh, no, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't climb up. I would get dizzy up there. But it needs to be a pulpit about this wide. It needs to have something in front that's symbolic, that lets everybody know that Christ is center of it all. We need to have a place where not just us, but our visiting speakers, over the years, you know, they've had to go and put their glasses on the floor or a small table. So they should have place to put that in, place to spread their materials, their Bible, any notes they have or any reference books they want to read from. There should be space for them. And the angle, that's far too much of an angle. It should be about, I think, about a 25 degree. This is for the benefit of those who are hearing me, that God's going to get hold of and use to do this job. And it glorifies God and allows God's servants to be able to be free because they're not struggling with their Bible and pads or whatever. I'm not thinking of myself. I've functioned with the same thing for too many years. So it's not me. I'm thinking of the others. So isn't that a good idea? I knew that you'd say yes to that, Barry. I could see you going for that. Amen. Let's look at Matthew 4. And let's just go to chapter verse. Verse, start off at verse 12. Now when Jesus heard that John, that's John the Baptist, had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While I'm here, can I just take a liberty and just read a little bit more, and I'll come back into the context of our subject, because this always excites me when I read this. I'm going to verse 18. And he just talked about now the kingdom of God. He just heard that John had been put in prison. When John was put in prison, he never came out. He was executed. John had come along preaching the gospel of repentance, the message of repentance, and to be baptized. When Jesus heard of that, it's then and only then that we've just read that he spoke of the kingdom of God now has come. John had been preaching another message. Can we quickly look at Isaiah 40? I think maybe verse 3 or 4 there. Isaiah 40, and comfort ye, verse 1. "Comfort ye, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her." This is Isaiah, I think is an awesome prophet, prophesying about something future in New Testament. "Cry out to her that her warfare is ended," hallelujah, "that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Hear about that. Verse 3. "The voice of one," talking of John the Baptist now, "crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Here's John the Baptist, his father Zechariah. We know had a revelation from God, and John went and carried it out. He was a forerunner of the Christ. He was a forerunner of our Savior, Jesus. And that's what Isaiah had prophesied way back here. The crooked way place is made straight. Sorry. I've jumped ahead of myself. Verse 3 then. "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And here we have this prophetic word speaking, Isaiah prophesying John the Baptist coming as a forerunner of Jesus, and then the Lamb of God would come, and that's Christ, of course. So here, as we've been reading in Matthew, we need to put this together, chapter 4. In verse 12, now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled that it was spoken by the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sit in the region and shadow of death, light has come. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we have a number of things that we see just in those few verses. One is the demise of the ministry of John the Baptist, which was an important ministry. He was the one that was sent by God to be a forerunner of the coming of Jesus. And then the actual transition of that role of light bearer from John the Baptist to Jesus, and so we have the gospel of the kingdom now introduced to us really for the first time. But let's go on to what I started to take you to, which is in verse 18. Previous in verse 17 it says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then in verse 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. By the way, I am going off at a tangent here, I want you to know. We're still talking about the gospel of the kingdom, but I'm just bringing this to bear to you because this is a sphere of God, of the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's the same sphere of ministry today, in the life of you and I, as it was in the lives of these men. Then he said to them, follow me. Let me go back. He saw these two brothers, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You know, for a long time in my younger years, I just took out those last verses and I left it there. Follow me and I will make you. Wow. I want to tell you, if you will follow him, if you will follow him, he will make you. He will make you after his own elk. He will make you by the Holy Ghost. He will make you. But the context is, he said, I will make you fishers of men. But look what he goes on to say, and this ever, and that's why I'm taking you into this, because I find this so awesome. Verse 18, and Jesus, fishers of men. Verse 20, they immediately, should underline the word immediately, they immediately left it. They didn't go home and say, well, we'll hold there a while. I need to go and talk to my wife, and I've got a family, and I've got a business. They immediately left him. You know, I can remember my salvation. I know I've referred to it not long ago at some event here. But I unsaved, knowing nothing about the Bible and things of God, but being given something to read when I had opportunity. If you heard my testimony, sat my car and started to read this. It was the Word of God. It was reading from Romans 3 and chapter 3, chapter 6. And I couldn't accept it. This was not me. I hadn't done all of these things, silly man that I was, blinded, and struggled against it. But as I carried on reading the scriptures, and it took me to the place, but he said, the wages of sin is death. I said, well, why should I die for something I haven't done? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Wow. That got over me, the gift of God. I don't have to die. I remember, as if you know, I pushed my seat back, went on my knees, didn't know what to say, and said, Lord, I don't understand any of this. But come into my life as my Savior. Help me to live the way you want me to live. I'm saying this because it's what we're reading here. I can testify that in my life, right there and then, I responded. I fell in love with my Lord on my knees in my car. It hasn't changed. It's the same to me yesterday, today, and forever. I fell in love with him then. It can happen, church. That's what I'm trying to communicate. It depends upon this. Where's your heart? Is it caught up in this and all that you represent, or is the heart really the very nerve center of your existence and mine? Well, the Bible says he talked to these people, these two brothers, and he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. You know, I can say to quite a measure, I did exactly the same. They left their nets. I wasn't long down the road. I left what I was aiming for. I would have been working for it all my life, all my adult life, to get there. But when I met him, there was nothing to compare with it. Never has been. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Oh, and if you can carry on reading there. They just followed him. They didn't say, well, I've got a commitment tomorrow. Or what will the boss say? I'll get sacked. Or I must tell my wife, must tell my mom, must tell my... No, they followed him. I want to tell you, church, we're talking commitment. And it's a commitment that only comes to you and I by revelation. I can tell you this, but I can't help you with it any further than that. But it's commitment. They followed him. To this day, I just stand amazed with the way that Jesus raised his disciples and made them fishers of men. He made them just following him. Just seeing the way he lived, the way he functioned, was all that was required for that to happen. And so now Jesus had introduced us to the kingdom of God. Let's look a few verses on from there. Let's turn to Matthew 4, and same chapter, and verse 23. And Jesus went into Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Here he is again. Suddenly now it's the emphasis on the gospel of the kingdom. The word gospel simply means the message of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people. Then their fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics. He healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and he began to share the Beatitudes. Another word for that is the laws of the kingdom of God. Why am I picking up on this? I'm picking up on this because of the transition that took place when, from the time that he started to preach the gospel of the kingdom, and he not only preached it, but as soon as they followed him, he started to demonstrate it. They were all healed. He started to let the people see that this kingdom of heaven, this kingdom of God. By the way, we'll talk about this again. You'll read in your scriptures, the kingdom of God. You'll read it also as the kingdom of heaven. That's synonymous. It's one and the same. They mean the same. One was written predominantly by Matthew, who was ministering to mostly Jews, and later on the others came and they were ministering to Gentiles, and the difference was because of who he was ministering to. But they're the same. But what he was able to say to them here, as he ministered to them, was to demonstrate to them that the kingdom of God, and I'm quoting another verse now, is a place of righteousness, peace, and joy. Hallelujah. That's the kingdom of God. Take the word righteous out for a minute. We can't leave it out. But just for a minute, and let's look at what the other two are. The kingdom of God is peace and joy. Oh, that's the kingdom of God. It's peace and joy. If you're in the kingdom, if you're born again, you're in the kingdom. And by rights, you should be enjoying peace and joy. And if that's not the case, you need to say, hello, there's a thief here somewhere. Someone's stolen my peace. Someone's stolen my joy. How did it happen? And trace it back. Find out where it was. When did the peace start going? When did the joy get lost? What was it over? Find out where he took you that you shouldn't have followed. Because that's what he's saying. He starts immediately, not just to preach and saying the kingdom of God is at hand. He's starting to demonstrate what this kingdom is. I'm going to leave it there today, but I want to leave the thought with you that we as Christians are in this kingdom. We've hardly started to scratch the surface of it yet, but we've heard enough and been reminded enough to know that our lives are awesome lives. They're full of peace and joy. It's through the righteousness of God, which Corinthians said, Jesus took his own son who knew no sin, made him to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To be like God through Christ. So therefore, peace and joy is ours. So let's, with one thought, let's just go away with, and that is concerning the kingdom of God that Jesus came to preach and which is now operating. It's rightfully, if it's genuine, it's a place of peace and joy. If peace and joy isn't reigning, an enemy has come in. He's stolen the harvest. He's stolen the harvest. And wherever that is, if it's in your life or anyone's life, whether you're saved or unsaved, that harvest is yours. And you can hold it, take it, receive it by taking the word, applying it to your life before God, between you and God, and exercising that authority in those circumstances. One of the things that, I'm closing, one of the things that I got so overwhelmed with in my earlier days was the fact that I was completely forgiven. Completely forgiven. I was when I gave my life to you, I was completely forgiven. Praise God. And I needed to start acting like it. That meant two things. That I start acting like I'm not guilty because I'm the righteousness of God now. It's not my merit that enables me to stand before God. It's the blood of Jesus. It's Jesus Christ who is my righteousness. He died that I and gave me his right. He took my guilt and he gave me his right standing with God. And I'm walking around right standing with God. So are you if you're born again. And that was the thing that really got hold of me, that I was more than a conqueror, and all these attributes were mine because of Jesus, who had stood in my place and in my stead and had given me what he had. And he had taken what I had. Hallelujah. That, it took me years to come to terms with that. Not that he'd done that, but what it really meant. That he'd taken my guilt, my sin, my shame, and he had given me his righteousness. Oh! I thought, I've got to be goody-goody. I've got to be goody. No, it's mine by faith, word of God. Jesus has paid the price. The supreme price. That's the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That's the kingdom of God. Glory to God. I'm getting started. We better stop. We're going to close. Glory to God. Let's pray. Let's stand together, shall we? Lord, we love you so much. But Lord, it's only ever because you first loved us. We didn't know what love was like until we met you, until your truth began to penetrate our lives. Father, thank you for that love. That love has changed us. It's redeemed us. It's made us over anew. Our Father, we thank you. It's not only a love that's powerful, it's an everlasting love. You never withdraw it. We thank you, Lord, that your love knows no measure. Your grace knows no limit. Your power, no boundaries known to man. That's where we're living today. And we give you thanks and praise for that. Lord, we ask that you'd find us as we continually, day by day, yielding ourselves to you through your word. Find us ready instruments in your hand by the Holy Ghost that you can use to further your kingdom, to bless the unsaved and the saved, and to reveal through us your love, your life, your redemptive power. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps and blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.